Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Now that's the sound of rock cracking. Once again, you've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We're in the last week of September. As we record this show, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are about to debate Monday night of this week. So next week we'll have some debate news for you. But what are we talking about in this world of politics? Well, today's show for this week, we have a special treat. I have Dave Henderson. He's an author, but more than just an author, he's lived a fascinating life. And back in the 1990s, during the media fest with the President Clinton and Monica Lewinsky affair that was going on, the Clinton machine had to come up with something to get Lewinsky out of the news and get something else on the news. And they went to what did Hillary Clinton call it then? Again, this Clinton machine that has been put together in some kind of evil fashion to destroy lives, to go after the innocent, to do anything to gain power, to keep power, to influence power and greed over just honest American citizens. There's no better story than the story of Dave Henderson. And during the 1990s, when, as I told you, the media fest was going on about Monica Lewinsky, well, Hillary Clinton took to the airwaves and she said it's a great right, a vast right-wing conspiracy. You remember those words? A vast right-wing conspiracy to take down her husband. She denied the Lewinsky affair. She denied everything. And she pointed her finger to who? Well, one of the people of the vast right-wing conspiracy. It was really just two or three people. But she pointed the news media. She set them up because her henchmen had already had designs to go after this man and some of his friends. And his name is Dave Henderson, worked for the American Spectator, and he had done investigated work with the Whitewater affair in Arkansas. A judge who became a witness, and David Hale was a big part. It was the star witness, and it was a past friend of Dave Henderson, and he got caught up in this, and the brunt of the FBI, the Department of Justice, along with the henchmen of the Clinton mafia-like coalition. It's like a posse put together to destroy honest and decent people. And this is the thirst for power that Hillary Clinton is a part of. And even now, as she struggles to be your next president of the United States, you need to hear this story, tell others to get on their get on whatever device they can to listen to this story, send them the link, and get this news out, because Hillary Clinton is a dirty, rotten scoundrel. The stench from the 1990s that she stirred up still smells to high heaven today. Nobody can tell the story better, because he was personally slandered, personally put up against a wall, and his career was destroyed, not because he did anything wrong, but because Hillary Clinton and her henchmen decided they needed to get him on the news and get Monica Lewinsky off. It's a shameful part of what power in American history is done. Power in an American presidency during the 1990s and an abuse of power to destroy innocent Americans. Listen to the story of Dave Henderson this week's special exclusive right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. His new book is called The Arkansas Project. From the United States JCs to the United States Justice Department and Whitewater, you can order that book at Amazon, check it out on Amazon, and listen to Dave Henderson talk with Doc Holliday right here, right now. Well, Dave, welcome to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and we like to talk about politics here. Introduce you to my listeners. I met you, I guess, a couple years ago, actually, when I was running for Congress, and we got to be good friends, and I had no idea that you have a connection back, going back to you had researched Whitewater and Clinton scandals, and then you yourself got into what we would say media controversy. Could you share a little bit about that, Dave?
Yes, I can, Ed, and it was indicative of what you can expect from Hillary Clinton, because she was one who was fierce about responding to anyone who was in any way critical to them. And it did not matter if it damaged man, woman, or child, she was all in for it, and can be counted on to continue being that way. I was on the board of directors of the American Spectator magazine during the 90s when they first came to Washington. And the magazine did some reporting. As a matter of fact, one of the first stories about the Clintons was called Troopergate. And it was about the various affairs that the governor of Arkansas was having, as reported by the troopers that accompanied him and served as his bodyguards. Ironically, the person who wrote those turned out to be a horrible turncoat. It was David Brock. And I just noticed that David was in the news yesterday, a lead article on the Drudge Report about some sneaky accounting in the various foundations that he supervises that Hillary set him up in. Sidney Blumenthal was also, he's mentioned recently as being one of the people who shared emails with Hillary when she was in the State Department, and he was with her in the White House when they were in the White House. The Clintons were in the White House. They also took care of him. They gave him a job with the Clinton Foundation, and he always also freelanced throughout the Middle East, and he was always drumming up clientele there, as has been reported. I don't know that firsthand. But that's just a brief summary of how I got involved. If you want me to be more specific, I think I'd rather not just filibuster, but you can ask me questions, right, and I'll try to answer them.
I was letting our listeners know, Dave, that, you know, there's, just like you said, Sidney Blumenthal. His name, he's connected to the Clintons back when you were doing things in the 1990s as far as with the American Spectator. And
That is true.
And he was very much in this email in 2016, the email scandal controversy. So I want our listeners to understand that this is not ancient news, and what you're telling us about firsthand knowledge. You have seen the Clinton and their, I don't know what you call them, the Clinton team. I don't really want to call them a team. It's more like close to something you call a mafia type connection.
That's very close to what it is. Very close to what it is. There were two more players in this, Gene Lyons and Joe Connison, and they wrote a book that was called The Hunting of the President, and later a movie was made out of it. And even our own Mississippi Morgan Freeman was in that movie. The book had tremendous flaws and had tremendous untruths, and many of them were intended. I pretty much critique that book in my book and point out the amazing number of inaccuracies that they reported just regarding me and my operation. And the entire team those people. There are many in the mainstream media who are just available at the drop of a hat to go to bat for Hillary. Now, it was formerly for she and Bill.
Well, Dave, let me stop you right there and just say, you know, we know during when Bill Clinton was president during the 1990s, they had media that would help them on a drop of a hat, like you said, and you pointed out in your book, and let me tell the readers, the title of your book is called The Arkansas Project, and you had a deep understanding of Whitewater because you researched that, and that was part of what you had done with the American Spectator, working for the magazine or on the board of directors. So when we talk about this Clinton clientele, mafia, whatever you want to call it, these names that were in the 1990s, they're still hanging around the Clintons, and many of them had jobs with the Clinton Foundation. And we've seen
that
recently
where
the Clinton Foundation may, you know, what, less than 10% goes to charity. And I remember James Carville said, well, people would die if you did away with the Clinton Foundation. Well, 90% of it, and probably some of his salary. I don't know. Maybe he'll starve to death. But can you shed any light on that?
I doubt it. He has an industrious Republican wife. She'll take care of him.
Well, that is true. He did marry. He married well, that's for sure.
Well, Doc, let me point out something else. I was involved in the JC organization back in the 70s.
Uh-huh.
And I served at the national headquarters as one of the senior staff members, and I handled the governmental affairs program, which took me in and out of Washington on a regular basis. And when I left there after my term, 3-year period ended, I moved to the Washington area and went in business as a consultant, and did so successfully for a number of years. I was totally ruined by the Clinton administration because of the media who did not bother checking facts and were often completely overblown in what they reported, and they destroyed my reputation. I was accused of bribing Judge David Hale, who was Kenneth Starr's principal witness against everyone in the Whitewater affair. He was the municipal judge in Little Rock who had also the capital, I've forgotten the exact name of it, but he was a lender. He had a lending institution. He loaned the water the money for the Whitewater deal to the McDougals, Susan and Jim McDougal, and to Bill and Hillary Clinton. And he wound up going to prison. He was he had confessed that he was involved in that. He spent time in federal prison in Fort Worth, Texas, and also in Texarkana, Texas, in a federal prison. And I was accused of bribing him. Brought before the Whitewater investigation, they set up a complete new team of investigators. It was called the Shaheen Report that was out of the Justice Department, and Janet Reno and her deputy at that time, Eric Holder, another name that came back to life.
Right.
And I had to appear before the Whitewater grand jury on two occasions. And, of course, there was nothing to the accusations. I was totally cleared, but that wasn't until my name had already been dragged through the mud. I wasn't the only one. The people involved with me in that program, which I ran, was Richard Mellon Scaife, the bugaboo for the Democrats for years and years. They were the George Soros of the Democrats. He was the George Soros of the Democrats, and he funded the program that I was leading, and I had been associated with him for a number of years. The president of his foundation, Richard Larry, we hired a Mississippi private investigator that some of the listeners may know who is deceased. All of these people that I'm naming are deceased. I'm the only one left who knows the story and can tell the story.
You say you're the only one left, Dave. Shed a little more light on that. The only one left that can tell this exact story. how does that make you the only one left?
Well, because all of the other people that were involved are dead now.
Okay.
My closest friend, Steve Boynton, who was also an attorney, and he and I worked as a team on these investigations. We made many trips into Arkansas and other places. We were subsidized by Richard Mullinscape. He and Richard Larry, who were the president of his Scape Family Charitable Trusts, mm-hmm. and they both died within the last couple, 3 years. And Rex Armistead, the investigator that we hired here in Mississippi, passed away on Christmas Eve, this past Christmas Eve. There was a gentleman named Parker Dozier who owned a bait shop down in Hot Springs on Lake Catherine. And he was a previous reporter, and a lot of people made a ton of him. You know, we had hired this guy that was a bait shop owner to help us with reportage there and to keep us informed on things that were happening when we weren't in state. He passed away a couple of years ago. So I am now the only person alive who knows all of the ramifications of that undertaking.
You know, and you didn't have to go back and try to remember things, because you said you had made this manuscript when it's fresh on your mind in, what, about 2001 or 2002?
Yes, I did. I wrote the manuscript detailing all of the things that had happened, and I submitted it to one publisher, Al Regnery. The Regnery Press had published several books during the Whitewater phase from various people, and Al looked at my manuscript and kept it for 3 or 4 days, brought it back to me and said, "You have a book, but no one will be interested in it because the Clintons are leaving Washington and nobody will be interested in them anymore." Well, he was rather prophetic, wasn't he?
Yeah, but well, he didn't realize the Clinton Foundation would keep people fed and well-fed and alive.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we're going to hear more from Dave and his fascinating story, because he was not just telling what somebody else knows. He's telling what he knows, what happened to him, and you're listening to him right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. And let me remind you, now Dave Henderson has his book out, and we're going to talk more of him in the second half of the show. It's called The Arkansas Project. But Doc Holliday has this new book out called Bedrock Truths. And remember, I wrote that book with who? It's Dr. Alveda King and the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And she is out there trying to bring unity to this nation as much as Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are dividing this nation. And you see the tensions in the city. You see people going, "We got to change." And why does Hillary Clinton want to be elected if people won't change? I mean, she wants to be elected to give you more of the same. So, like we've said before, we're going to have a special show for American minorities, African Americans, others across this country who feel left out after 8 years of our first African-American president. Why are the people in the inner cities, why are the residents, the citizens, feeling so upset? Well, we're going to have a special show coming up addressing those issues. And so keep listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and check out my book, Bedrock Truth. You go to the front page and click on the cover and get that book, Dr. Alveda King, Dr. Alex McFarland, and yours truly, Doc Holliday. Put that book together, get a copy of it. You can order it right there on my website. And listen, get ready for an exciting second half of this show with this special show with author David Henderson. So take it away, Dave.
I also mentioned I had a recent interview from Newsmax television, and in the last 24 hours learned from them that they want to do another one with me on the 3rd of October. That's a week from this coming Monday. That has been very helpful. I pointed out in the last one that my attorney, who had to go with me to grand jury twice, to the grand jury in Fort Smith, Arkansas, to to defend my position on whether or not I had bribed the Whitewater witness. And that attorney was Richard Leon, and he was a partner in the Washington firm of Baker Hostetler. He is now a federal judge in the District of Columbia Circuit. And I've not seen him for a lot of years, but when I was on the Newsmax program the other day, mentioned this, and I said, if he's listening, hi, Dick.
Okay. So maybe you've been able to speak to him. But
I don't think I would have referred to him by his first name if I'd seen him in court, yeah. now that he's a federal judge.
But, you know, a lot of my listeners are younger, and some of them don't know a thing about Whitewater other than the name. And bring out some of these names.
David, I'm sorry.
You spent a lot of time with him. And then tell us a little bit how you got accused of bribing him. I mean, nobody would think you would bribe someone. And then you tell about that in your book. But if you can, I want people to get your book. But if you can tell a little bit how in the world it happened that all of a sudden there was a media frenzy that you had bribed this judge, the star witness.
Well, this is an interesting story. I mentioned Parker Dozier, who was our stringer, so to speak, in Arkansas. He ran the bait shop.
Right.
His dad had died, and they had property there on the water, and he had arrangements with a funeral home there in Hot Springs to handle the funeral arrangements. And there was a woman that worked for the funeral home that was involved in the arrangements. And a few weeks after the death, she showed up at his bait shop and kind of hung out there for a while and wound up being his, you recall what James Carville said, drag $100 bill through a trailer park. Parker lived in a trailer there,
and
not too long after that, she was his roommate. She was a self-professed member of a mafia family from Chicago. She was a fortune teller. These folks that were working for the Clintons, these so-called journalists, found her, she found them, or one way or the other, and she started telling them these really way out stories. And they wanted to believe it, and they started reporting that. And Geraldo Rivera even had her on his television program, live, on at least one occasion. And she was written about in so many newspapers and magazines and on television programs that you would think that she was just the greatest thing in the world.
And Dave, right now, of course, the media frenzy went all out with her. But what time was this? You know, this was after the Lewinsky affair came out about Bill Clinton. Was this trying to get that off the newspaper?
So that was all a part of the effort. They had people in Arkansas that were just running all kinds of traps, trying to put down anyone who had any opposition whatsoever to the Clintons. I would recommend anyone read my book to hear to find out the entire story.
I've read it, and I want my listeners to know it is a very interesting story. And one reason I got Dave on this show for my listeners is to not only to get his book, but I mean to understand this Clinton, the nastiness. I mean, Hillary Clinton is a dirty, rotten scoundrel, and she would take somebody squeaky clean like Dave here and just run him into the ground because it fit to her to make her look better, make the Clintons look better, to help them survive and stay with power. That you know, it's just her shenanigans know no end, and now she wants to be the president of the United States.
Yeah, there's one other point too, and you said that very well. There's one other point. When she got ready to fight back against our vast right-wing conspiracy, as she called it, she went on the Today Show with Matt Lauer. Remember that name?
Matt Lauer, yes.
Matt Lauer, and she talked about how everybody, and this was right after Monica Lewinsky had been identified by Matt Drudge, and she went on the program and she defended Bill. She said that didn't happen, that wasn't true at all, and she said there's this vast right-wing conspiracy that just keeps on, you know, dogging us and so on. And she said, I think some reporters are finally catching on to it, and maybe they'll start writing about it. Well, she knew exactly who they were and what they were going to do.
They were already pretty much set apart, and then they were said, you know, they knew it was a script. She was just setting the tone. And so at this point, you still, nobody had made any accusations. When Hillary talked about a vast wing conspiracy, had they?
No, they had not. That was just the beginning of it. And Salon Magazine, which back in those days was virtually unknown, hard left wing internet magazine, and they reported the most scandalous stories, made up lies, and repeating this woman whose name was Karen Mann. At any rate, it was interesting to say the least. It was brutal, but one can read my book and then look back to, you know, with Google and all that, you can find any story that was ever written about this. And there were a lot of them that were written about our involvement, what they call the Arkansas Project. That was a name that was given by some of the staff members in the American Spectator. David Brock, of course, had defected from there, as I'd mentioned earlier, went off to become a very rich supporter of Hillary Clinton and a pal of Blumenthal's. They worked together on all of this.
And David Brock at one time was a part of the American Spectator?
Yes, he was one of our writers.
And then he went over to the dark side, I guess, in the Star Wars terms.
Well, to him, it was probably into the sunshine because he really hit pay dirt.
He went where the money was.
Oh, he did. But now, as of yesterday, they were reporting that he was doing funny things with his money, and I don't doubt that at all. I can't say with certainty that he did, but when it shows up as the lead article on the Drudge Report, you've got to be believing that there's some validity to what is going on there.
And I'll just point out my listeners, Dave, once again, the names in the past that were around you in the 1990s and some of your nemesis, the Clintons going after you, they're still the same names, Sidney Blumenthal.
And here's
David Brock, you know, just... there's some names that are really relevant to our election coming up in November. And that's why I'm so glad you got this book.
You're so correct. And by the way, let's mention my book is available on Amazon Books.
Yes. So you go to Amazon Books and look up. Now, tell us the title of your book again.
Well, the main title is The Arkansas Project. But the subtitle is From the United States JCs to the United States Department of Justice and Whitewater. And the reason that I used that is because I had, as I'd earlier said, I was with the USJCs in the early 70s, and that's when I met Judge David Hale. He subsequently became a national president of JCs.
Okay.
And that's where I had my connection with him, and I was able to go to Arkansas, meet with he and his attorney, and start working through him to find out how all of this stuff was working.
And that's what the listeners need to know. It wasn't like you were trying to sensationalize a story or get to see a star witness. I mean, you knew him from years before.
Yes, exactly.
He became a witness.
And I supported him when he was in prison. I visited with him regularly in both when he was in Fort Worth and when he was in Texarkana. His wife and daughter, the FBI had moved him. I failed to point out, by the way, and this was a critical point, he was under the protection of a FBI hostage rescue team, they kept he and his wife hidden for quite some time because there were threats on his life. They moved him out of Arkansas into Shreveport, Louisiana, and kept him there up until he went to prison. And I went down there along with my friend Steve Boynton and drove the family and David to prison for him to report in, and you know, continue to communicate with his family and with him. It was an interesting interesting few years. And,
right now, I noticed, like you said, they came out against you, made accusations. You had to defend yourself, and so tell us how it ended up and how.
Oh yes, that's a good point. The grand jury thought it was a bunch of cuckoo as it was.
Yeah,
They would not indict. Yeah, I went there twice, and it was not a bad experience, really. I mean, the grand jury is a good thing because they can, if they want to, they're made up of just regular citizens, and if they want to, they can overrule the prosecutors, and they can use their own minds about that. And in this case, I can't say that the team that investigated us was bad, and they were doing their job, but the grand jury just said no. You know, there was no there.
Did anybody in your group, the American Spectator, anybody indicted or?
Everybody.
No. Squeaky clean.
We did, but the magazine was damaged very badly and almost went out of business. Many stories told, and there were a couple of people inside the magazine who were leaking things to the mainstream media as well. It was a nasty situation, all of which I have explained in detail in the book.
Right, and I tell my listeners that explained in a fantastic way of the details. And it's just amazing to me that so many of the names you use are relevant today, like I said, to this very election of Hillary Clinton's, who the Clintons surround himself. You know, they're loyal, and that Clinton Foundation, all those millions and millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars they've collected, it seems like the majority of it's gone to salaries. And
but
living
Doc,
pretty high.
I would say where you said they're loyal, I would say they are bought.
Oh, well, you know, that is a much better word that fits the situation, it looks like.
Yeah, and I think if any of them abandon ship, they would be in great jeopardy themselves.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen, or visit docholliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.